Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Hawn.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank
next
you very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Hawn, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always a delight to have Coach Wannstedt here in studio. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Dave.
I'm good. It's good to be here with you guys. I was thinking walking in here, it's time to probably change the coaching cliches now, you know?
Right.
It truly is, you know. Now all of a sudden it truly turns to, you lost some games, you lose some games, you don't lose the team mentality.
Right.
You know, and how do we get the guys ready to play? Particularly that defense. I mean, that's, to me, the key. I mean, those guys are giving up 17 points a game. That's the goal board, right? I don't know if Chucky Pagano has a goal board, but we used to. And, you know, you fill them in just to let the guys know what we're doing, running, passing, red zone, big plays, all that type of stuff, turnovers. Offense has one. Defense has one. Usually special teams has one. And the goal was always 17 points a game. Right now, they're fourth in the National Football League.
Right.
I'm giving our listeners some good positive vibes to get their coffee.
That's crazy.
Going
they're
here.
Fourth in scoring defense, they're, and they're 4-6.
Yep, yeah. They're fourth in the league in scoring defense, but they're I think 28th, 29th in scoring offense, scoring 16 and something a game. So they're scoring like a point less than what they're giving up.
Which is just crazy. I mean, we were talking about it earlier, Dave. If the field goal kicker were better, if they had solved that issue, maybe they're two games better than they are. Maybe they're 6-4 instead of 4-6 because he missed one. And then if you score 9 points to open that game, it's a totally different game. We don't see them play with a lead ever.
Absolutely. And you know how it changes it? I mean, because I talked about Sean McVay and got some good information on our Fox show out there in L.A. Sunday. And I said, hey, this is the guy that last year at this time, if you had a cup of coffee with this guy, you were up for a head coaching job in the NFL, right?
Yep.
The young genius that had it all figured out. Well, now all of a sudden it's caught up to him a little bit. We talk about, you know, Matt Nagy and things catching up to him. I believe they caught up to the Rams too. And so what he did, he went in there against the Bears and he said, I'm not going to get sacked and I'm not going to throw interceptions. You know, Todd Gurley, you are going to get the ball. If the linebackers make every tackle or say secondary guys, I don't care, but we are not going to let those down guys hit us in the backfield against three new offensive linemen. And that was his plan, plain and simple. And they ran it and they ran it and it came up 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, and they converted more and they won a close game. The Bears still had a chance to win it. The point is this, that I'm agreeing with you, Mike. If we get, let's say we score once and get a field goal, those first two turnovers.
Right.
If we're up 10-0, and now I'm calling plays, he's saying to himself, it can't be three plays in a cloud of dust, and we're not going to win this thing 10-7 now. Now I've got to throw it, and now it changes.
He's not wired
everything.
That way. Exactly. If you have a 9-0 lead, your approach offensively is entirely different if you're the Rams and McVay.
Yep.
And
yep.
The Bears did not ever get that 9-0 lead, so they're always in this tight game. So when you're Matt Nagy and you're looking at your quarterback now, well, first of all, what did you think about the way that the last 3.5 minutes went when they went to Chase Daniel and they pulled Trubisky and the whole injury thing?
Well, I was halfway through the fourth quarter. I turned to my wife and I said, you know what? The Bears are going to win this game. I mean, I really felt like they were going to win it.
They came out in the third quarter and marched down the field. I agree with you.
And I said, they're going to win this game at the end here. you know, the Trubisky thing, the injury thing, I don't know. Here's how it works, though. Okay, for our listeners, if somebody gets hurt, a player, and the doctor sees him, the trainer sees him, the trainer just comes up and whispers to the head coach, this is kind of protocol, hey, so-and-so, Molly twisted his ankle. I say, fine. Is he okay to go in? That's my first question. And they say, yes, he's fine, but he twisted it. Now I'm watching him. Okay, so let's assume that Matt Nagy knew that Mitch obviously saw the doctors, that he got hit, his hip was bothering him. Now, is he cleared? Yes, medically. That's the first step. Now I'm watching his performance. And if Molly's out there limping around on an ankle, I'm calling you over and I'm saying, hey, Mike, I know you want to play, but we can't do that because you're not helping the team. And that's the end of it. But if you're out there playing with it and you're hurt and things are going well, you're performing, then I'm letting it go. You know, I'm not going to worry about it. Medically, you've been approved. It's not one of those injuries that's going to, you know, threaten your career. So I look at this thing and say, okay, Matt probably knew. He's watching him. Mitch isn't performing well. At the end, he didn't think, so he made the change. To me, it was pretty simple. Now, whether there's more storylines to this thing, I don't know.
How long does that take, Dave? I mean, you've had that injury.
Oh, I played with it. For a lineman now, I mean, you know, yeah. And I don't know what they can do medically anymore compared to what they did to us back in the day, right? I mean, without getting into it. But I was fine. I didn't feel a thing. Didn't feel, you know, my leg didn't feel anything, but my hip was great. But no, I played with it. It was very, very painful. And with a quarterback, first thought I came to my mind was the Dak Prescott highlight tape of him warming up with his hip loosening up drills, right?
That's
everybody's
funny.
Seen it. Now everybody's doing it. Bosa, the defensive lineman, was doing it the other day. You know, the quick turns with the hip, with the hip, with the hip. And if he can't do that, which he's going to really be limited, if it's a legitimate hip pointer, it's going to be real painful. I think the guy's definitely questionable.
Devil's
I
advocate.
Really do. I really do. And now you're back to the same story with Mitch. You're limited on his running ability.
Right.
If he can't run, you know, boy, you're taking probably 30% away from his game, in my opinion.
So you think it was because, I mean, what we don't know is if he was medically not cleared to play because – or if he could have played through that, if he was playing at a higher level, because he wasn't playing at a high level, and it was hard to tell the difference between injured Mitch and healthy Mitch.
Yeah, you know what? I hear you. I think there's, because the Bears are struggling and because Mitch was struggling, has been struggling, I think the conspiracy theories have come out. You know what I mean?
And
there's
exactly.
too much conspiracy theory by everybody. I've done two or three shows. I did my NBC Sports last night. Everybody wants to talk about the conspiracy of this thing. Forget about it, okay? The guy's, he was hurt. Matt didn't think he was playing well. He takes him out of the game. I mean, I would just leave it at that and move on down the road.
Well, they didn't handle it. Dave, how does it work? If you have a player, if your quarterback gets hurt, you're on national television, do you tell somebody?
No, I don't know. So I didn't get that part.
Who tells somebody that, hey, he's out because of injury, not benching?
They usually have a runner that gets to our PR guy. You know, in that case, it'd be Brian Harlan. You know what I mean? They would come down and say, what happened to so-and-so? And then it's Brian's job to try to get a hold of somebody on the field and get some information. But I never said anything to anybody on TV. I mean, that was the furthest thing from my mind. I mean, it really was. So, I mean, there was so much
talk
about
it. But that's where all the conspiracy theory was born.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, because Al Michaels says, for whatever reason, here's Chase Daniel. And when Al Michaels says that and sounds like he's caught off guard by it.
Well, he was, as we all were, weren't you? I thought he was making a change because Mitch wasn't playing good.
Right.
I saw that last pass go in the dirt, and my first thought was, well, he's had enough.
But that could have been the first quarter, too, Dave. I mean, before he got injured.
So if you're watching a guy because he's got an injury, Dave, as you said, why are you running an RPO to the short side of the field on third and one?
Yeah, that to me, because on third and one on that option play, and we talked about it before the show.
You did a great job of explaining that yesterday on your show.
Thank you, NBC Sports Chicago. But, yes, I it wasn't executed. And Mitch almost ran it like he was not going to attempt to run it. And to run
like
that,
he was injured.
Yeah,
to run
that option effectively, and I assume that's what they were trying to do, get the first down. you know, that it was third and one. You have to attack the inside shoulder of that defensive end.
Right.
And he took two steps and just pitched the ball and made it too easy. Made it too easy on the defenders on that play, on the Rams. And it was almost like he was not going to run the ball. So I got to assume he was hurt.
When you're going to that side anyway, the sideline's like an extra defender. So you're talking about a very narrow gap. And when he didn't run that play correctly,
yeah, they ran out of space.
There was no hope.
No, you run out of space quick. I mean, you gotta force the issue on that thing and take it and plan on getting hit in the mouth, quite frankly. I mean,
so Dave, you know what Mitch means to this organization overall and all they've invested in him. You've been a coach. You've been an Italian evaluator. Can he do anything in the final six games to change your mind or to affect the arc of his career?
I'd like to see him come out and have the game plan that the Rams had. I'd like to see him come out and run 35 times this week, and I'm serious now, and throw play-action passes in bootlegs. I think the guy can score points that way. Are you going to score 35 points? No. Can you score in the 20s? Absolutely. And I'd like to see that throughout the whole game, like the Rams did. The Rams came out. McVay made up his mind that they were not going to – they threw it 18 times and had a chance to lose the game, but they stayed with it. That's my point.
And again, if you they open that game with a fumble on the first play. Mm. They throw an interception, and then they have a special teams mistake where they run into the kicker. The first three times they were on the field, they're giving you – an opportunity to get ahead, and when you didn't, and that's – I mean, do you blame a kicker or do you blame the offense or who?
Well, the kicking thing – here's how I would deal with both of these things. If Mitch is out this week, and I apologize for not knowing his name because I did the Bears' last preseason game and the guy played really good.
Eddie Pinero?
No, the third-team quarterback, the practice squad.
Tyler Bray.
Okay, he's a practice squad guy, yes. Right? Okay, I would play him. I truly would. Mm. I mean, I would not waste a game or two with Chase Daniel. I wouldn't. I would play this young kid and see if he can do anything because he played good in the preseason, in my opinion. Kicking situation, it's only going to get worse as the weather gets worse. You're going to go up to New York this week. I mean, I remember Kevin Butler saying that kicking in Giant Stadium was one of the worst places in the entire country to kick because of the wind and the tunnel.
They're here.
Yeah. Okay, take it back.
It's still a bad place to kick.
Well, okay, then that was my next point.
You're
then
a Florida kid.
Then you got home games coming up here.
Right.
So my point is you're going to be outside. It's going to be – the weather's going to be a factor. You know, so it's not going to get any easier. But with that being said, if the Bears were a playoff team, I would pull a Jimmy Johnson, and I would cut him, and I would go get a veteran guy that can make field goals. I don't know who that is right now, you know,
but I would get
a guy that's solid, okay, in the 40s. I don't care if he can kick a 50-yarder. Forget about that. Give us the money. But in the situation the Bears are at, I would stay with Eddie. I would not do a thing. I would see if he can come out of this thing. And I would ride it out with him. I truly would. I think, you know, a playoff team, I'd make a change. No playoff team, I'd stay with him. Playoff team, I would go with Chase if Mitch couldn't play. No playoff team, I'd play the young kid.
312-644-6767. I want to talk about this with some of our listeners after our next segment with Dave because that's astounding. Because what you're saying, Dave, is that they're not a playoff team, which I don't
argue. They're so bad, keep the kicker.
They're so bad, start the quarterback and keep the kicker. That's where we're at with this team. It's Mully and Haugh on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dave Wannstedt, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always a delight, and we learn so much when Coach Wannstedt comes into the studio. Dave, I'm fascinated because I don't know if all our listeners remember the story of Kerwin Richards, which was you guys came to Chicago. You're on your way to the first Super Bowl in Dallas, and Kerwin Richards, a backup running back, he fumbles. And that didn't sit well. And then he goes out and fumbles a second time. And Jimmy Johnson meets him as he's walking off the field and tells him, son, you're flying home commercial. You're off the team. he literally cut him on the Soldier Field turf. And that's kind of what we were talking about with Eddie Pinero. But yeah, you say it's different when you're not a winning team and you're not a playoff team.
I would, because he's a young kid. And think about the effort and time that Ryan Pace and these scouts put into this kicking thing, right?
Oh, they got 52 other guys, Dave.
Wait a second. I mean, this was a, you know what? Would they have eight kickers? I mean, my point, I'm trying to give them some credit for this, that they did their homework. They brought in, they had the competition. He won the job. He's struggling right now. What I don't know if he's going to come out of it, but I would not cut him this week. I would give him another week or two and stick with him. That's what I'm saying. If they were a playoff team, I would get a guy in here to make, you know, that we feel good about making a field goal here at Soldier Field next week. But I wouldn't do it. That's just my feeling. And, you know, I try to solve our – you better be talking about the quarterback position right now. I mean,
they have other issues that you think are greater than the kicker situation.
Absolutely. Right now I do.
Matt Nagy has been really, really, I think, publicly supportive of Eddie Pinero. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had to be that publicly supportive of a guy who has let so many people down? And how difficult is that for a head coach?
It's tough. You know what? But Matt Nagy, give him some credit. Mm-hmm. He's seeing what the kid's doing preparation-wise. You know what I mean? And he's, you know, before the game, after the game. I mean, he's closer to the situation we are. And the guy obviously is trying to do, I hope, everything he can to win, you know. So I could see how Matt would respond that way. I mean, I've been in that situation before. I mean, the guy's struggling and you're hurting for him as a coach. You are hurting for him because you like this guy. He's doing everything right. You want him to succeed and it's not happening. So you got to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's what at this point in the season too, we got to keep coming back to that, right? I mean, if they're 8-2 right now, you know, I see everything. I'd start Chase this week if Mitch can't play. But if they're out of it, I'd take a look at the young kid for a couple of weeks. I really would.
Yeah, it's interesting. The situation has turned. You know, I think when we talk about this team, part of the problem is the expectation level was so great. And they were in training camp talking about a Super Bowl. And you saw them make the playoff. I mean, and that.
Well, you can win too fast. I mean, it kind of happened. I mean, not at the level that they went last year, but if you remember, we go 7 and I go 9, then we go 9 and win a playoff game.
Right.
Go the second round of the playoff. And the next year, we spent a little bit of money at that time. And, you know, and we brought in some free agents.
Yeah.
And next year was going to be my best team. That was the window to hit it, and that's we talked about this. That's when we beat the Cowboys in opening week to start the NFL season.
Yep.
They were the Super Bowl champs,
right?
And then Eric Kramer breaks his neck, and we go 7-9, and that was the beginning of the end. So my point was that sometimes you win so fast that the expectations are higher. That's all part of it. You know,
Dave, you did such a good job also on your TV show pointing out how Khalil Mack's not showing up on the stat sheet would be understandable because of the attention paid him. You talk about expectations. He's a $141 million man. He comes in as the game wrecker, not having a tackle against the Rams, not having a sack in the last three, certainly from the outside said, okay, this is disappointing. But there are reasons for that, and yeah, you explained them well.
There are. You know what I mean? You have to go back and watch the tape. You truly did, and that's what I did. I mean, you know, are they running away from him? Are they, you know, is he not given effort? I mean, are they block? I mean, there's a lot of things why he may not be coming up with the numbers that everybody would like. The play that you're talking about, I cited a drop back pass. I mean, it was a third down situation and the Rams were going to throw the ball. And for our listeners, what happened was, you know, the Bears rushed four guys. And the tight end banged on Khalil Mack before he released for a pass. So he got hit by one guy. Then the tackle turned and started blocking him. And then the guard turned and started blocking him. So he had three guys blocking him, and it's tough to get to the passer that way.
And on the other side, it's 3-3.
And nothing happened.
And not one guy can shed a block. They're all stuck there at the line of scrimmage and not making any kind of impact.
That's where I would be going. If I'm the head coach, I'm putting that tape on and saying, what the hell is going on here?
Right.
I mean, are you guys, this is not the Khalil Mack show.
Right.
You know, this is can't be the.
If they're triple teaming him, there has to be an opportunity for somebody else.
One-on-one. Yeah. And that's what you try to get. As a defensive lineman, you got the mentality, if I can be one-on-one with anybody, I'm going to win. And you can't move him around. Other people said, oh, why can't they move him around like Aaron Donald? You know, Aaron was inside on the right, outside. He was on the end. They move him around. You start doing that with Khalil Mack, and all of a sudden he becomes less effective. So, you know, they can go a little bit right side, left side at time to time, but you don't want to overthink that
stuff. Did you do that with great pass rushers?
No, I you know what? Jason Taylor, I think Richard probably did it on his own when I hit him for the 1 year. You know what I mean? And Jason Taylor a couple of times would do it. And I just didn't think, you know, you're practicing something, you're getting reps. Think about just any job that we do. I'm getting in a certain stance, I'm seeing the ball out of a certain eye, I'm moving, I'm repping it, I'm stepping, I'm ripping, I'm grabbing, I'm doing this over and over. Now you go to the other side and everything is completely different. So even though you might be getting an advantage because this guy might not be as talented you're going against, you lose a little edge because you don't have the repetitions of doing what you do best. And so you got to be smart about that. It happens. I've done it. Yes, people that have you know, seen me run defenses, I have done it, but I don't make a habit of it.
Ryan Pace is master of the trade-up. A lot of these guys – it creates higher expectation because you're investing more and able to move up and get a player. And you look at Leonard Floyd, they thought he was going to be Jason Taylor. That's why they went. They thought he was going to be Aldon Smith. That was the idea because you had Vic as the defensive coordinator, and he'd worked with kind of the tall, lankier guy that you could get in space, and he'd beat everybody. Why is it not working? Why is it failing?
And the thing that I remember last year commenting, I wasn't quite sure. I loved his effort when they first got him. I said, boy, I love this guy. No one's playing harder on the defense than Leonard Floyd, chasing the ball like a crazy man. That's a starting point. If you don't do that, you got no chance. Okay. Right. And then as the season went on, even last year, toward the end of the year, I saw him using some spin moves. I saw him using some rip techniques. I saw his skills become better last year. And this year, you know, it just hasn't happened as much, and it should. It really should. I mean, he should, you know, be smiling every day because, you know, Khalil Mack's going to be getting double teamed, triple teamed like we talked about.
Yeah.
It's got to be frustrating. I don't think it's physical. I think it's just, you know, mentally he's got to get the confidence to get his techniques back.
Dave, are they going to win against the Giants? Is it finally?
Yeah, I think they win the next two. I really do. I think
it'd be 500.
Yeah, I think they can win the next two and get 500, and then go from there. You know, so
be nice to have a happier story.
Mully has them winning out.
Oh, do
no,
you?
6-0. Listen.
Oh wait, did you say that?
I never said that. I said
well, they could.
I said that you can't quit on the season because, as unrealistic as it might be,
absolutely,
if you get to 10-6. Usually, not all the time, you make the playoffs. I know it's hard this year in the NFC, and I know Lovey was fired after a 10-win season.
Yeah,
well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I was
6 it's not, does it's it. Not hey, mathematically dead.
I was, my last year at the Dolphins, I was 10-6, and then you know Ricky went to India or wherever he went. And then, no, I'm sure, but my last year coaching the Dolphins, I was 10-6, and then I was at Pittsburgh. No, so it can happen.
Namaste.
How did that happen?
It can happen.
All right, Dave. Thanks so much. We appreciate it as always.
Thanks,
Coach Watts, that always enjoy.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Hey, buddy! Hey, buddy! We get better, bet!
We get better, bet!
We get
beat,
beat!
We get
beat,
beat! NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. It is always a joy to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline, El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Michael, good morning.
Hey, Mike. How's it going, guys?
Well, you know, things aren't going great here in Chicago. We're trying to figure out, you know, they're 4-6, and they're going to keep the kicker because they're so bad. I don't know. It doesn't make sense, a lot of what's going on here, and I don't know that there's a way out, but they got the Giants coming in, and one of the questions we were asking is, are the Giants in better position with Danny Dimes than the Bears are with Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, assuming that Mitchell Trubisky's hip injury resolves, or hip region, or whatever it is, right?
Hip pointer?
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
The whole situation is just bizarre to me. And, yeah, I think Daniel Jones, because we've yet to see what his ceiling is, I'd say the Giants are in a better spot. We know what Mitchell Trubisky's ceiling is, and he's banging up against it, and he can't bust through it. And whether that's a Trubisky problem or a Nagy problem, that remains to be seen. You know, one of the things we've learned in recent years, coaches are finally warming up to the idea of, if there's a quarterback you like coming out of college, you do what he did at the next level. You run an offense that made you like him in the first place. Whatever he did in college that made you think this guy's got the potential to be a great NFL quarterback, you do the same thing. And I wonder how much friction and tension there is between what Nagy wants to do and what Trubisky does best. Because the challenge for any coach, and the best coach is the one who says, I don't care what my system is. I'm going to take the guys that I have, and I'm going to run the best possible offense and the best possible defense based upon the players that I have. And I just wonder if at some level that's where the conflict really is here, that Trubisky isn't a guy who can do what Nagy does the way Nagy wants to do it, and Nagy isn't willing to change what he does to account for what Trubisky does well and what he doesn't do well.
And I wonder if you saw the beginning of that process in L.A. for the Rams, Mike, on Sunday night, because you saw, you know, they only ran 52 snaps, but you saw Jared Goff throw only 18 times, and you saw recognition on behalf of McVay that to beat that Bears team under those conditions, that was the best approach, was to let Todd Gurley be the best player on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's the next level beyond designing your offense and defense to fit the players you have. You design your game plan for each week based upon the players the other team has. And that's the Bill Belichick approach. You come up with a unique game plan, and if the circumstances call for a run-heavy offense, if that's going to help you win, then that's what you do. Pass-heavy, that's what you do. Balance, that's what you do. Whatever it takes to do what you need to do to score enough points to win the game. So, and now, here's the other, and trust me, the Rams are far closer to the Bears than they are to, you know, the teams that truly have great quarterbacks like the Chiefs right now, because with Jared Goff, they backed themselves into a corner in the offseason. They paid this guy $33.5 million a year. And I just don't think he's all that good. And I think they're trying to protect and hide and conceal. And, you know, you've got some key third down plays, and he's not throwing the ball down the field. Last week against the Steelers, they took him out of the game on third and short and had Blake Bortles run a read option. I mean, you don't trust a $33.5 million quarterback to throw a four-yard pass on third down. So there's issues there with Goff. And it may be protection that's part of the problem because he's not exactly a mobile guy. But the bottom line is, you're right. You design your offense and your defense based on who you have, and you design your game plan based upon who you're going to face. And if that's what it takes to beat the Bears, then that's what you do.
What did you make of David Tepper, the Carolina owner, coming out and saying, not committing to trading Cam Newton, well, we're going to see what goes on, and not committing to Ron Rivera or Marty Herney or anybody?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. He bought the team a year ago.
Right.
And look, you want to take some time to get your feet wet and to understand what the business is all about. You don't want to complicate your first few months of ownership by having to go out and find a new GM or a new head coach. And last year they were 6-2. They fell apart down the stretch. This year, 5-3. They're in the early stages of falling apart down the stretch. And the All or Nothing series on Amazon that follows a team all season long, this year's was the 2018 Panthers. And in the last episode, Tepper says that the league is set up for every team to be 8-8, and where you go above or beyond that depends upon, do you have a great quarterback? Do you have good coach? Do you have a good GM? And that was the first time I thought, yeah, this guy's going to get his own coach and his own GM at some point. I mean, he didn't buy the team because he had a lifelong dream of employing Ron Rivera to be his head coach. And I love Ron Rivera, but David Tepper is going to get whoever he thinks is best. And the guys to keep an eye on, especially a GM, Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM, who's on a year-to-year arrangement there. It would not surprise me if Tepper lures him down to Charlotte. And there's already some people that are speculating that, even though Bill Cowher's been out all these years, because Tepper's got those Pittsburgh ties, that could be the kind of move he tries to make to get Cowher down to Charlotte. But that's why I think he has to be non-committal about Cam Newton, because you can't make a decision about Cam Newton until you made a decision about who's going to be making the decision about Cam Newton. So until you know who the coach and GM are, who knows what Cam Newton's future is going to be? You may hire somebody who just doesn't want him.
Mike, in the 2 days or so since the Kaepernick circus left town in Atlanta, and I think both sides probably deserve a share of the blame for how that went on Saturday, there has been no reported interest or activity from the 32 NFL teams. I don't expect that to change. Do you?
No, I don't expect it to change at all. And the net effect of what happened this past week is to change nothing. Look, for 32 months, he's been available for anyone who wants to work him out. That's what was so ludicrous about the news last week. And I remember when I first saw the news, I thought, and the way my brain processed it is, oh, okay, Colin Kaepernick is going to hold a workout and give everybody a chance to come see what he can do. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, the league set it? What? Why is the league setting this up? It was weird from the inception. It was never going to succeed. There's too much mistrust, too much skepticism. There's too much angst between the two sides in this. They've got a history of litigation. They've got a history of PR problems. Why in the world would you think that if you go to Colin Kaepernick on Tuesday about a workout you have set up for Saturday, it's going to go smoothly? It was a mistake for the league to do it. Both sides handled it poorly. I don't think the league wants him, and I don't think he wants back in the league. I think both sides were trying to use this to advance their PR and or legal agendas. There's a very real threat of a second collusion grievance being filed by Colin Kaepernick against the NFL. And the way the NFL handled things over the past week, they potentially invited it. So, and I'm upset about it as a football fan. Here we are minding our own business during the middle of a pretty good season, pretty compelling season, except for the Bears and a few other teams. And they dropped this turd into the punch bowl on us that we have to deal with. And as part of the media, it's like, I really don't want to deal with this. I really don't. I'd rather focus on what's going on. And they say all the time, we want to focus on the game, focus on the game. Well, who the hell had the bright idea that we're going to have a Colin Kaepernick workout in the middle of November? It makes no sense to me. I mean, if you're going to do it, if you get the idea in November, fine. Wait until after the season. What does it prove to do it now? The whole thing was a bad idea, and it was handled poorly by both sides, and ultimately nothing's going to change.
When you start talking about the playoff picture and teams that, for whatever reason, I never hear the Patriots mentioned as often as maybe they should be. I know that the only team that really would scare them, or the only team that I think can beat them, is probably Baltimore. And maybe Baltimore has now, you know, become this kind of fashionable pick, and certainly Lamar Jackson is now leading the MVP stuff. But if that game's played in Foxborough, That's a very difficult place to play, and I don't trust a lot of teams going in there, but maybe the Ravens are the one.
Well, and the Ravens have beaten them in Foxborough in the past. Yeah. The last time that the Patriots didn't have a bye, 2009, wild card round, they hosted the Ravens, and the Ravens destroyed them. That game was over like halfway through the first quarter. And the Ravens have beaten them there in an AFC championship game. There was another, remember, Lee Evans had the ball in his hands, and it was knocked out. So the Ravens have played them well. The Ravens were up by 14 points two different times in the game before the Deflategate game, in the divisional round of the 2014 playoffs. So the Ravens are not intimidated by the Patriots, and whether it's Foxborough or whether it's Baltimore, I don't think it matters to the Ravens, although I'm sure the Ravens would love to have that game at home. And that's the thing, the Patriots down the stretch, one false move, and they could lose the number one seed. And the AFC playoff picture is kind of weird. We were talking about this today on PFT Live. It's become a given that it's Ravens and Patriots at the top. Now, look, a lot can happen in 6 weeks, but Ravens, Patriots at the top, from 3 to 10, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you could have the Chiefs win the division. You could have the Chiefs out of the playoffs. You could have the Raiders as the 3 seed. The Bills could fall apart down the stretch, even though they're currently in the 5 seed. It really is going to be fascinating to see who gets the opportunity to try to prevent a Patriots-Ravens rematch in the AFC Championship game.
Mike, Myles Garrett wants to represent himself or at least be heard about his appeal with the commissioner. Will that happen, and what are his chances?
Well, I mean, he's allowed to attend and testify in person. Otherwise, he'd be testifying by phone. Look, here's his best argument. His best argument is that the collective bargaining agreement does not permit an indefinite suspension for on-field misconduct, that there must be a specific number of games levied against him. And I don't like that argument because, as a practical matter, you may be right. Okay, so fine, you win. Congratulations. And now they give you a specific number, and it's 12 games. I mean, I wouldn't want to poke the bear on this one. This was an unprecedented act of on-field violence that the NFL must severely punish, because you cannot let any player think that anything other than the swiftest and most severe punishment is going to be implemented. Because even though they got lucky this time and Mason Rudolph was fine, the next guy could get killed. You can't have a guy doing the windmill move with a helmet in his hand, bashing it into another player's head. So that's why they have to come down hard on Myles Garrett. Now, if Rudolph had been seriously injured, he'd be in jail right now. Or Garrett would be prosecuted. I mean, it is a criminal act. It's assault. It's beyond the boundaries. You don't sign away your rights to a civilized society when you walk onto a football field. Well after the play, helmet removed, whacked over the head, that's assault. And if he'd been seriously injured, that's when I think the criminal justice system would have been activated. The NFL has to assume he was seriously injured, because the NFL has to ensure that that never happens again. So be careful what you wish for, Myles Garrett. They're going to take away the indefinite suspension, and maybe they're going to double the 6 games. And, you know, they suspended Vontez Burfict 12 games earlier this year, and it was upheld on appeal. So I'd tread very lightly if I were Myles Garrett.
Mike, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and, of course, NBC Sports.
Yeah, the thought process of if Rudolph were hurt,
jeez,
that Myles Garrett would be in jail.
You know, I got to tell you, every time that thing flashes on TV, I'm like, oh, my God.
Do you believe that?
I can't believe
he
did it, and I can't believe he didn't kill the guy.
It's amazing that he didn't injure him more.
Yeah.
Because that's
a weapon. He clocked him right in the head with the thing. The
helmet's like 6 pounds.
Oh, my God. Yeah, someone said that a brick is 5 pounds and a helmet is 6 pounds.
Yeah.
Must be a thick skull on Mason Rudolph, huh?
It's a good thing you don't have a brick lying around a football field.
It's a good thing he wasn't that bright to begin with.
Boy, that's awful. That's just awful. All right, we're going to bring in Dan and Connor next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.